If you have your Bibles, let's just look in Luke chapter 1 together, and we're going to look at this Christmas story from the perspective of Mary. We're going to look at Mary this morning, because I think Mary's great. She's a hero, and I've called it the greatest day in Mary's life. And so let's read just a few verses from verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And we testify to that even today as we sit here. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judea. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary breaks out in song, which is what we should do at Christmas. And she sings this magnificent. And she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Hallelujah. And on she goes. Amen. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing on your word today in Jesus' name. And so, friends, this really became the greatest day in Mary's life, which you can imagine. Archangel Gabriel coming to her, telling her she's going to be pregnant, she's still a virgin. It was the greatest day in her life. And we're going to unpack that this morning. I'm not sure what was the greatest day in your life. Perhaps you can think about it. What was the greatest day in your life? But this was truly the greatest day in Mary's life. And she just responds so well to new things that God is doing in her life. She's kind of taken aback. She's overwhelmed. But she responds so well. And she's a young woman. She's probably not even 20. And she's betrothed to Joseph, which is like a binding agreement. You had to kind of get divorced if you were going to break it off. And she gets told that she's going to be pregnant, this miraculous virgin birth. But she responds so well. God is doing new things for her. And I really trust that you can also trust God for new things for your life for next year as well. Amen. This is our last meeting for the year. And I would just encourage you as well, if you catch some time over the next few weeks, and just say, Lord, I'm trusting you for new things for my life as well next year. Can you say amen? Lord, as we go into 2020, and it's a new decade we're going into now. We've just finished the last decade, and we're trusting God for great things in this next decade from 2020. Just like Mary responded so well, we want to respond. So let's see what we can learn, because there's some things we can learn. There were some things in this that were new for Jesus himself. There were things in the incarnation, in this virgin birth, that were new for God himself. And new for Mary. Just a few things, first of all. What was new in the Christmas story for Jesus himself? Well, God was doing something new in the history of the world by breaking into human history with the birth of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, is about to be supernaturally born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was always pre-existent. He was always God. But now God came to take on flesh. And it's one of the greatest mysteries of the Christian faith. It's a mystery because we can try and work it out and think about it, but it's really a mystery. It's one of the deepest mysteries. Matthew says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Emmanuel. That's what we're celebrating. And so that's why we gathered here today as well. So that means firstly that Jesus is unique. Jesus is a special person. He's a supernatural being. He's fully God and fully man. If Jesus had just dropped down onto the earth like Terminator, remember how Terminator just fell? If Jesus had just dropped onto the earth like Terminator from heaven, we would have wondered about his humanity and said, how could he relate to us? How can he be human if he just dropped out of the sky? And if he simply had two human parents and God wasn't involved, then how could he be a savior? How could he be holy? How could he be different? But the Bible tells us that Jesus was human because of Mary, and he was divine, he was holy because of the work of God in Mary as well. Hallelujah. And therefore he had a human nature just like us because of Mary without sin. He didn't have a sinful nature. But he was also a holy creation of God because it was something special that God was doing. Hallelujah. So Jesus was unique. He was a unique Savior, fully human, fully God, to take our place, to die in our place upon the cross. Secondly, it means that everything also changed for Jesus himself. The uncreated Creator suddenly was born to this teenage girl and he had to be breastfed and he had to have his nappies changed. He didn't lay aside his godness, but he added humanity and he became a baby in vulnerability and in weakness. And friends, that's mind-boggling when we think of a God of the universe took on flesh. Hallelujah. And he did that in order to reveal God to us. In the Old Testament, God came in tornadoes and earthquakes and mountains that shook and fire. But in the New Testament, he comes in the form of a baby and reveals himself in the form of a baby so that we can really get to know who God is. He's not just fire and he's not just someone who shakes mountains, but he's someone with us and amongst us. Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. You know, today's hot. We seem to always have Christmas on hot days. But if you go outside and you try and stare at the sun with your naked eye, you will fry your eyes. You need to wear thick glasses or something like they do when they have an eclipse to stare at the sun. You need a filter so that you can see the sun. And Jesus became a filter for us to see who God was. We saw through his flesh, through his humanity, it gave us a picture into the character of God. Hallelujah. And so things changed for God. He took on flesh. And when Jesus died upon the cross and rose into heaven, he took that body into heaven with him. Hallelujah. He took the nail marks into heaven with him. We have a man in heaven whose name is Jesus, who's also God. Hallelujah. And so God was doing something new in the history of the world. God was rebooting the human race again. God was starting again. Hallelujah. With Jesus, who is our second Adam. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden, God started with the first Adam, but Adam failed. And Jesus passed the test. The first Adam had no earthly father. Jesus had no earthly father. The first Adam had no sin until he sinned. And Jesus has no sin and he's never sinned. Hallelujah. And so you have these two Adams. We're all born into the first Adam. But when you become a Christian, when you see who Jesus is, you turn away from him and you give your life to him, the Bible says you become part of the second Adam. Hallelujah. You get spiritually born again. We're born in Adam, but you get born again in Christ. Hallelujah. And friends, that's the Christmas message. And so there were new things that happened for God as God took on flesh as he rebooted the human race, as he started again. But there were also new things for Mary as well. And I love the way she responds as a young woman. And we can learn so much from her. She kind of gets it. And just to say up front, Mary's great, but she's not sinless, as the Catholic Church would say. We don't pray to Mary. She's not sinless because later on she also cries out, God, my Savior. So Jesus, she needed a Savior as well. She's not sinless. You know, she's not the mother of God in that sense, although she is the mother of Jesus. Hallelujah. But she's amazing. And she's a wonderful believing woman. She's a virgin keeping herself for her husband. And so a few things about Mary this morning as I continue. Firstly, Mary responds in faith. She believes in God's word. She just trusts God's word. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And she believes what God says to her. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. The Lord has done great things for me. She's changed in the depths of her being by the Christmas message. Hallelujah. She's changed by this angel's message. She says, praise the Lord. He's done great things for me. She's changed on the inside and she begins to sing because something has happened to her. Hallelujah. And that's what we do at Christmas. We sing a lot. Amen? We sing a lot at Christmas, even if we've got bad voices. We sing. Hallelujah. And hopefully we can still sing one or two of these carols when I'm finished preaching to you this morning. And so she sings. She sings about God's nature. He's mighty. I'm a virgin, but I'm pregnant. Only God can do that. He's holy. He's coming to deal with our sins. And yet he's merciful. He wants to reach down and he wants to help us. Hallelujah. So she responds in faith, but she also trusts God's will for her life, even though she's overwhelmed. And she thinks to herself, what am I going to do now? Because she lives in a shame culture. What will people say when they find out I'm pregnant? That's why she rushed off to Elizabeth to hide away, I think, for a while. It was in the shame culture, and it was only decades later that people would understand what was going on when they realized who Jesus really was. But she has to trust God's will for her life. And I encourage you to do that as well. Trust God's will for your life. Trust God when he does things unexpected in your life. Don't try and work it all out. Just say, Lord, I'm your servant. Be it unto me as you will, as Mary did. She's a wonderful example. She even trusts God with her husband, and she's a smart girl. She's a smart girl. She doesn't even tell Joseph what's going on. She leaves it to the Lord. And God appears to Joseph in a dream. She's clever. She trusts the Lord. She trusts God's unexpected will for her life. But she also, and this is the point I just want to emphasize this morning, she finds a faithful friend. She goes to Elizabeth. She takes the angel's advice. She finds a friend to fellowship with in this new season of her life. And women are so good at this. Sometimes when my wife goes shopping or she's out and she comes back, I say, what have you been doing? She says, no, man, I just met this woman in the supermarket. And we were just chatting. And after 15 minutes, Shannon knows about her family, her kids, where she's from, what she's struggling with, what she's been shopping for. It's just incredible. I say to her, how did you find all that out in 15 minutes? She said, well, we were just talking. We were just chatting. Women are incredible. Paul Tournier says, men so often live in a world of things and logic, and women in a world of relationships and experience. And that's why we need their perspective. Amen. Am I getting points here this morning? Men often isolate themselves when they go through difficult times. But women do not isolate, they congregate with others when they go through difficult times. Women hate caves. Women don't like caves. Caves smell, caves are dark, there's bat droppings in caves. Women don't like caves. Men go to caves, women don't. They connect with others. And I would encourage you to keep seeking out and connecting with others that are walking with Christ in your Christian endeavor. Christianity is personal, but it's not meant to be private. And Mary goes and she finds Elizabeth and they begin to chat together and to share together. And it's one of the ways you can respond when God is doing something in your life is to tell someone that you trust. And Elizabeth's the older woman, and she's helping Mary along as the younger woman. And as Mary comes in, John the Baptist leaps in her womb. And it's a spiritual friendship, and it's like a Holy Spirit meeting, and the Holy Spirit comes down on these two women, and they begin to worship, and they're filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's not just a social connection. It's not just tea and biscuits, but they understand the scriptures and God's prophetic promises, and they worship together. And friends, it's the best kind of friendship, and it's friendships we need in these days when we together see what God is doing and we can encourage one another. One commentator said about Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit, the prophetic spirit of the old covenant, seizes her as she salutes Mary as the mother of the Messiah. Hallelujah. These two pregnant women enjoying a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. It was wonderful. They're from different households, but they connected around what God is doing. And friends, we need to do this in these days. I'd encourage you to develop those friendships. We need to develop those friendships. And we need to connect with folk that are outside of our church, even outside of our movement. We mustn't become tribal, but we must connect with what God is doing with others. Hallelujah. It was a gospel friendship, and it's needed more than ever today, particularly in the West, in the age of individualism and isolation. We need it today. And notice this, this may sound obvious, but it was a physical friendship. It was not online. It was not on speakerphone. Mary traveled to see Elizabeth and physically entered her home, and they met and shared together. And the Spirit came upon them and they experienced the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And friends, we need this today. We need to recover community today more than ever. We must take the message from Gabriel or from Saul or whatever. And then we must connect into smaller groups and friendships and apply the message. We need that. You can't just go alone. Go it alone. You can't just work it out on your own. And we find that that's what Mary did. She connected as well with Elizabeth. And we need today to be in the room. I would encourage you this year approaches, ask yourself, I need to be in the room. I need to be in the room. I need to be in that meeting. I need to be in that person's home. I need to connect with that friend. I need to make the effort for community in an age of isolation and loneliness. We need this more than ever. We need small groups. We need friendships today more than ever before. Let's learn from Mary. Hallelujah. And if you don't have that kind of friendship, I'd encourage you to ask the Lord for it and to pursue it and to go after it so that you may walk with others who are walking with Christ, especially this Christmas. Just connect with others. Walk with others. Be an encouragement to them. Talk about the things of the Lord, just as Mary did. These are gospel friendships. We need them today more than ever before. And so Mary, she's just wonderful. She responds so well. She stays there for 3 months with Elizabeth. It was a safe place for her. And then she goes home to have her baby. Hallelujah. I'd encourage you to encourage others. Women do this kind of well. They kind of just do this stuff. Guys, we need to do this more. Who's your friend? Who's your friend? Who can you talk to? That's really part of the Christmas message. It's us together in the community of God. I encourage you to develop those friendships. And for the guys, it's not about a task. It's not just about getting things done. It's saying to the guy, how are you really doing? And we can rejoice together and we can pray together. And we can talk about what God's doing in our lives together, just like Mary and Elizabeth did. Women are just good at this. They just, I don't know how they do it, but they just do it. It's incredible. And finally, we see that it was new for Mary. It was new for Jesus. Christmas is about newness. It's about what God is doing. But what about you? Can perhaps this Christmas be new for you? Jesus really is our Emmanuel, God with us, who came down. God didn't just look down from the top of heaven's stairs and look at us and say, come on up. You can do it. Believe in yourself. Think positively. Climb the steps. He didn't do that. Because we can't do that. You get to the first step and you fall off. He came down. He came down the steps to rescue us. Hallelujah. He didn't just say come up. He came down. And he came down for us as I close, friends. And who is us? Emmanuel, God with us. Who is us? Who is the us? The us are the people who believe in Jesus. That's who the us is. It's the people like Mary and Joseph. Poor people. Teenage girl. And her nervous husband. The shepherds. The star seekers from the east. People who believe. People who trust. People who see who God really is. The Christmas cards are actually correct. There's a hidden message in Christmas. You see it in the Christmas cards. You hear it in the songs. You're buying stuff in Checkers and they're singing, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. There's a message coming through. God is trying to reach us. God wants to reach you. Salvation was achieved through Jesus humbling himself. And salvation is received through you humbling yourself and realizing that you're a sinner and you need a savior. Hallelujah. That's the message of Christmas. And it's new. It's good news. It's the gospel. Hallelujah. And Mary's life was completely changed and turned around. And I would encourage you to trust Jesus, to look to Jesus. If you're not a Christian today, or maybe you've wandered off, think I've got this all worked out. No, you haven't got it all worked out. There's a secret message of Christmas. And it begins by trusting him. And realizing that there's a message in Christmas. And God wants to reach us. And you need a savior so that you can begin to sing in a new way. Hallelujah. Amen. You ready to sing again? Shall we sing some more before we go and eat? Should we do that? I think so. I think so. And if you felt God has spoken to you in some way today, please come afterwards. Come and speak to me. I'd love to pray for you as you respond to this Christmas message. May it be new for you, just as it was new for Jesus and new for Mary. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you didn't just tell us to climb up, but you came down. Lord, even though it was new for you, taking on frail human flesh. Lord, thank you. It was new for Mary and she responded so well. Lord, help us, please, to respond well when you do new things in our lives in Jesus. I just feel for some of you here, and I said it last week as well, prepare for new things that God would do in your life in this coming year. Prepare for new things. Prepare in anticipation. Don't be bowled over. Don't be overwhelmed. But in your heart, think, yes, I'm preparing myself for what God is going to do. And find a friend to talk those things through. Talk to God, yes, of course. But find someone you can talk through and say, I feel God's doing this in my life. And rejoice together. And hear from God together. For God's going to do some new things for some of you in this coming year. He's going to reposition you. He's going to change circumstances around you. It's already beginning if you can see what he's doing. There's something new this coming year for you. As you open your heart to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.